Well, good morning again. How's everybody doing today? Are you ready for the Word of God? If you have your Bibles, and you should, turn with me to Psalm chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100. In just a moment, we're going to read the whole Psalm, all five verses, six verses if you count verse 0, 0 through 5. We're going to read that text in just a moment. We're coming down the home stretch to the holiday. I continue today the series, Thanks Living, from Holiday to Lifestyle. Now, in the first two messages of this series, I dealt with the idea that complaining robs us of thankfulness. Before we can become people who are comfortable in gratitude to God, we need to stop being people who are comfortable complaining to God. Get the difference? Complaining, I believe, robs us from any kind of natural sense of gratitude that we have. Many of us are more comfortable complaining than we are in giving gratitude to God. So today I'd like to help us kind of look at gratitude in a different way. We're going to pivot a little bit today from where we've been in the last couple of weeks. Instead of as an emotion, I'd like to teach us, and especially myself, to look at gratitude as a discipline, to look at gratitude as a discipline. In other words, we cannot live a life of thanks living if we are only acting on our feelings, okay? And that's, acting on our feelings, that's called living reactively. And many of us, we live that way. We go from feeling to feeling to feeling. And wherever our feelings take us, that just react to those, and we kind of live that way. I call that living reactively. We must be people who are living proactively instead of reactively, proactively. We need to be grateful to God whether we feel like it or not, right? So to help us understand this, I've selected as our text Psalm chapter 100. I'd ask you to stand as we read these five, six verses together. If you're visiting us today, we welcome you. We stand for the reading of the main text because in this church, the Word of God is our highest rule of faith and conduct. Hopefully, you didn't come to hear the opinion of the pastor. You came to hear the opinion of God from out of His Word. And so we don't stand for every scripture text, but we stand for the main one. It's our way of giving honor to the Word of God. Psalm 100. 0 through 5, this is the word of the Lord. A psalm for giving grateful praise. A psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation. What we have here in this psalm is temple and tabernacle language, okay? And I love it that it reaffirms the character and the nature of our unchanging God. Could we read that last phrase again? Let's look at it. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is great, is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is God's word. Can you say amen? So be it, Lord. Make it true in our lives. We open our hearts to the hearing of Your word that we might obey it. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have preserved it, You have protected it, and it is inspired and still authoritative for our lives today. So, change us, God, as we think about it, as we contemplate it, as we meditate it upon it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today's message is titled, The Discipline of Thanksgiving. The Discipline of Thanksgiving. Now, I love how Todd Still, writing for the Expositor's Bible Commentary, he's writing his comments on the book of Colossians which talks about gratitude. I love how he describes the discipline of gratitude. He says this, and I quote, it's a great quote. He said, "Gratitude is a grace that Christian people are to cultivate." I like that. That's kind of the whole purpose of this message. Gratitude is a grace that Christian people are to cultivate. Instead of continually complaining to or presuming upon God, believers would do well to recall that we have nothing that we did not receive from God. We would do well to recall that we have nothing that we did not receive from God. God gave us everything, and therefore we should cultivate gratitude in our life. I love that. I love that sentence. Cultivate gratitude instead of continually complaining. And that's what I want to talk about today, cultivating a discipline of thanksgiving, a discipline of thankfulness. Let's jump right into the material today. And I want to look at this message in three parts. We're going to talk about developing a discipline of thanksgiving. And so, first of all, I want to talk about what is a discipline, and then I want to talk about the principles of discipline, thanksgiving, and I want to conclude by giving you some tips on training. Let's begin with the first section, which I'm calling, what is a spiritual discipline? If we're going to talk about developing the discipline of thanksgiving, we need to figure out what in the world a discipline is. And so let me give you three biblical definitions of a spiritual discipline. I think the Bible gives us three definitions. All three of these together will help you to understand what that means. First of all, the first biblical definition is that, number one, a spiritual discipline is an intentional training in righteous living. It's intentional training in righteous living. Paul talks about this to his young protege, Timothy, in his first epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Look what he says. He says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather," and I love this, "train yourself to be godly." Train yourself to be godly. "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." That sentence kind of blows my mind. Because I think many of us, perhaps even most of us, we come to church, we worship God because we expect God to grant us, right? God grant us healing. God grant us provision. God grant us the answers to our prayers. Paul kind of turns the table on Timothy and he goes, "Train yourself." What? Yeah, train yourself. A spiritual discipline, understand what this biblical definition, it's self-training. Train yourself. Intentional training in righteous living. Now, I want to show you something, because in all three of these definitions, when it comes to that word training, in that text, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, train, I've highlighted that word, train. That word in the original language of the New Testament, which is the Greek language, and I'm just going to put it up on the screen, the Greek word for training in all three of these definitions is the Greek word, it's pronounced this way, gymnazo. Gymnazo. Do you see it on the screen? Gymnazo. And it's very interesting that the whole first part of that word is like gym. Gym, which literally means to train in gymnastic discipline. That's right in the word. So when Paul says to Timothy, "Train yourself," he's like, "Timothy, go to the gym and work on this. Develop some gratitude muscles. Develop this spiritual discipline." Okay? So we are to train ourselves in righteousness just like we train our body in the gym. Right? Weight loss and muscle growth don't come accidentally. Weight loss and muscle growth don't come accidentally. We got to train ourselves. And just like that, this spiritual discipline of gratitude, it's not going to come naturally. We got to get in the gym and work it out. They come as a result of intentional hard work. Let me tell you something. A discipline is developed intentionally, not accidentally. If you're overweight or need to build some muscle, you don't wake up one morning and go, boom, oh, look at that. It magically appeared. No, you'll get up early, usually early or after work, and you get your gym shoes on, you get your shorts on, you go to the gym, and listen, you put in the effort. You put in the effort. You intentionally train yourself. You intentionally train yourself. The same holds true to spiritual disciplines. It's something you need to work at. Secondly, the second biblical definition of what a spiritual discipline it is number two, it's repetitive spiritual practice to increase maturity. Repetitive spiritual practice to increase maturity. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 through chapter 6, verse 1. Look what it says. This is really huge. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature. Look at this. The mature, how do you get mature? Says it right here, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. By constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teaching about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. That word training in the text, you want to know what that word is in the original language? Gymnazo. Get to the gym, basically. Get to the gym. Constant use, repetitive spiritual practice to increase maturity. Move forward toward maturity. Move forward toward, in other words, get better by personal training. Now, how do you learn spiritual? Let's take, for instance, the spiritual discipline of fasting. How would one learn the spiritual discipline of fasting? Well, let me just say this. You don't start off with a seven-day fast. Don't do it. You're going to get discouraged. You're not going to make it. Remember, one time my father was a preacher before. My father's been a preacher for 50 years, and I wanted to learn the spiritual discipline of fasting. So I went to my dad one day. I said, "Dad, can you?" My dad would routinely fast like 8, 9, 10 days of an absolute fast with just water. And I said, "Dad, teach me how to fast. I admire your discipline of fasting." And he said, "Well, Barry, I would suggest that you fast for 24 hours." And I went, no, that's easy, that's nothing. I think I should start 7 days. And my dad's like, no, it's not. You know, that's not how you start a discipline. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is saying, is you move toward maturity. It's not something you accomplish in a day. You move forward toward maturity. How about one meal at a time? You don't start with a seven-day fast. You don't run a marathon. You don't run a full 26 miles day one. It doesn't work that way. You start slow and low and work your way up to fast and long. That's how a spiritual discipline works. It starts by doing what you can do so that you move toward what you at present time cannot do. That's developing a spiritual discipline. It's intentional training in righteous living. It's repetitive spiritual practice to increase maturity. You get better at it the more you constantly use that spiritual gift. Number three, the third biblical definition, and that word is in there, gymnazo, vigorous investment of time and energy toward a transformative habit. Vigorous investment of time and energy toward a transformative habit. Again, the writer of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, look what he says. He says, they, in this case, he's talking about human parents, they, your human parents, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Now, look at this. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been, there's that word, for those who have been trained by it. Those who have been trained by it. In a spiritual sense, this word can be, this principle can apply. No pain, no gain, right? You ever heard that? How many of you heard that? No pain. When you go to the gym, when you're trying to lose weight and gain muscle, the axiom is you got to put in the effort, right? No pain, no gain. And we don't abuse ourselves and overwork ourselves, but the fact is you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And the apostle who's writing Hebrews says to us here, when you're developing a spiritual habit, a transformative habit, at first it's going to seem painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Okay? Going to church, tithing, reading your Bible, studying. At first, it's going to seem painful. It's going to seem painful. But the more effort you put in, enduring the pain at first, the better you'll get at it. It's called repetitive spiritual practice, vigorous investment of time and energy toward a transformative habit. In the same way, this discipline applies to Thanksgiving. Sometimes it's hard. We need to be willing to do hard things. The follower of Christ is called to do hard things. Now, let me just say this right off the bat. I think there's like an elephant in the room. Some of us, and I like talking about this when my wife's not here. She was in the 9 o'clock, she's not here. She's more naturally gifted at this than I am, to be honest with you. I told you last week, I'm much more comfortable lamenting, right? Much more comfortable lamenting than I am. And I'm working on this, and I'm training, and I'm working hard on this, but let me just tell you, this is painful for me. This is not comfortable. It's not natural. I'm working, and this is what happens when you go to a gym, right? When you go to a gym, you start working muscles, right? You haven't worked for a long time. I'm doing this new exercise routine. For Christmas, my daughter Emily bought me this contraption called the TX7, and I've been working this thing and doing the exercises according to the manual, and I'm hurting. Why? Because I'm using muscles I haven't already used. I haven't been accustomed to using. This is called training. Gymnazo. Going to gym. You're going to come home sore. Why? Because you're building muscles that you hitherto haven't had. Again, some of us, can I just say some of you, are better at this than others of us. Thanksgiving just comes natural for you. Can I just say something? If that's you, get out. Get out. Leave right now. It's not natural for me. It's not natural for me. It's more natural for my wife than it is for me. For some of us, we're like not gym rats, and so we have to develop a habit. We have to work muscles we've rarely used before. We have to build them up, and initially it's going to be painful as we move toward maturity. How many of you get this? You get this, all right? So this is a spiritual discipline. We're talking about Thanksgiving as a spiritual discipline, okay? Sometimes it's hard. We need to be willing to do hard things. The follower of Christ, hear me out, is called to do hard things. That's what is a spiritual discipline. Let's move to the second part of this message, which I'm calling Discipline Thanksgiving. Now let's apply this idea of a spiritual discipline to Thanksgiving. How do we develop the spiritual discipline? How do we exercise, move these muscles toward full maturity? So when it comes to the discipline of Thanksgiving, I want to touch on five principles. Five principles apply here. There are a lot more than five. I'm just going to touch on five. Five principles of disciplined thanksgiving. Number one, thanksgiving should be practiced for entrance into God's presence. Thanksgiving should be practiced for entrance into God's presence. Let's look at our text. This is what our text is saying. Psalm chapter 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, as I said before, this is temple or tabernacle language. This is how the Jewish people learned to worship God. There was a tent of meeting, and in that tent was split into three places that gradually got more intimate until it got to the Holy of Holies, and nobody could go in there because that's where the tangible, physical presence of God, the Shekinah glory was, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. The tangible presence of God was in the Holy of Holies, and you only one person could go in there one day a year. It was on the Day of Atonement, and hopefully they tied a rope around his leg, because if God found something wrong, you know, to strike him down, they'd had to pull the guy out by the rope tied around his legs. How many of you are glad we're not living in the Old Testament? I'm glad we're living in the New Testament. But see, understand this. Here's the language of this psalm. It's talking about temple and tabernacle worship, which begins from outer courts to inner intimacy. The closer you get to the Holy of Holies, the closer you get to the presence of God. And here's what the psalmist is saying in our text. Worship becomes more intimate. We draw closer to God when we access his presence through thanksgiving. I will enter his gates. That's the outer, that's the extreme outer. In other words, you begin to approach the intimate presence of God. Don't even start without being thankful. It starts with gratitude. Why would God allow someone into his presence who is not grateful to him? I'm not sure, but I don't think he would. I think this text tells us when you approach God, when you approach God's presence, when you come into his presence, you walk through the doorway of thanksgiving, right? Praise and thanksgiving are keys to entrance to the door of his presence. Come into his presence with thanksgiving through the portal and into the courts. Come through the door and into the courts. We're getting closer to the presence of God. How many of you are following me? Okay, this is really important. Thanksgiving should be practiced for entrance into God's presence. It's the doorway through which we come into the presence of God. Second principle of disciplined thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should be practiced continually. It should be practiced for entrance to God's presence, and the scripture teaches us that thanksgiving should be practiced continually. Now, how in the world, to me, I'm going to tell you something. When I started reading about this, I started getting frustrated. How in the world am I going to do this continually? I don't do it naturally, and now you want me to do it continually. How in the world am I going to do this? Well, let me just tell you something. I learned in my study, because scripture has a way of showing us different ways of looking at continuing. So I want you to look. Let's see how Scripture tells us there are three ways that we should practice thanksgiving continually. Number one, look at it this way: in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It begins by looking at the circumstances of your life, whatever his circumstance is. Good, bad, happy, sad, up, down, all around grateful. When I'm up, I'm thankful. When I'm down, I'm thankful. When I'm flush, I'm thankful. When I'm broke, I'm thankful. Whatever my circumstance is, whatever it is, I'm going to be thankful, circumstantially thankful. Second, not only in all circumstances, but in all we say and do. There's a different way of looking at this idea of continually. Everything, all that we say and do. Again, Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, I find this interesting, whether in word or deed. Paul tells us the words we speak are what we do. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. My words and my deeds should be done in thankfulness. Now we're seeing how continually being grateful works. In every circumstance, in everything we do and we say, we give thanks. This, can I just say, what you say and do, this is the record of your life. The record of your life is found in what you do and say. It's a legacy you leave behind. What you do and what you say. It's your legacy. When I start thinking about it that way, I start getting concerned. What's my legacy? What's my legacy? Am I leaving a legacy of lamenting and complaining all the time? I want to leave a legacy where people know that what I say and what I do gives thanks to God. That's how I continually, in every circumstance, in all we say or do. The third way Scripture tells us to do this continually is in all times for all things. In all times for all things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we spend our time. This is what Paul tells the Ephesian church. Spend your time in gratitude. Spend what little time you have. You have but one life to live. Spend it in gratitude. Always. This is how we spend our time. In gratitude. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? A spiritual discipline that is continually grateful. Now, this isn't occasional. This isn't a feeling. This is an emotion. This is a discipline. In all of the circumstances, I want to be grateful. In everything I do and say, I want to give thanks to God. In all of my time, I'm to be grateful to God. It can be daunting, but it can be done. Number three, the third principle of thankful discipline. Thanksgiving should be practiced in regular intervals. Scripture tells us that thanksgiving, and this is one way that this helps us always be thankful. If we set up regular intervals to give thanks. What am I saying? What am I saying here? I'm saying simply this: schedule it. I'm going to show you two ways that the Scripture says we should schedule it. Schedule our thanksgiving. You have discipline. You'll have a spiritual discipline of thanksgiving when you schedule it. Because let's face it, right? If we don't schedule it, it's most likely not going to get done. Now, if you're anything like me, you like to be spontaneous, right? I'm a spontaneous person. My wife is a list writer. She has lists all over the house. List, list, list. Everywhere I turn, there's a list. I think I'm spontaneous. Like, I don't know. She's like, make a list. I'm like, I eschew lists. Why? Because I want to move with the Spirit. I want to flow in the stream of God's love. And really what I'm saying is I'm too lazy to make a list. And then have to be accountable to it. The truth is, spontaneous me gets to the end of my day and I go, what have I accomplished? You know what? Whatever's not on my calendar doesn't get done. Why? Because I'm just so spontaneously lazy. We got to schedule it. Several years ago, eight, 9 years ago, my wife and I were struggling to find time to be with each other without work getting in the way or women's ministries getting in the way. And she said to me, we need to schedule it. And I said, but schedule it? What about I want it spontaneously. I thank God I submitted to it. Friday night is date night. It's scheduled. It's on the schedule. I'm gonna enjoy my time alone with my wife, and we're gonna enjoy a good meal. We're gonna pay a little bit extra for it. It's going to be our time together, and nothing can intrude in that. You know why? Because it's on the schedule. And a lot of people say, "Well, that just takes spontaneity out of it." Yes, and how spontaneous are you? Fact is, it's not getting done, and you know it. If we don't schedule it, it doesn't get done. Let me show you two ways in Scripture where Thanksgiving was practiced in regular scheduled intervals. Thanksgiving. First of all, the psalmist. Schedule it morning and night. Look what the psalmist says in Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2 from the English Standard Version. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. There we go. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Psalmist is saying, I schedule it. I give thanks in the morning and I give thanks at night. Regular intervals. That's cool. Here's another one. Scriptural precedent. Daniel, three times a day, scheduled it three times a day. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, what decree? Daniel's friends, so-called friends, they got the king to say, you can't pray to any other god but Nebuchadnezzar himself. And if you pray to any other god, you're going to get thrown in the lion's den, right? It's a wonderful story in Scripture. So the decree went out. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Look at this. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Scheduled it. I don't care what kind of decree is coming down. I pray and give thanks to God three times a day. Daniel said, that's just not going to change. It's on my calendar, morning, noon, and night. I get on my knees and I give thanks to God. Regular intervals. Can I just tell you, things get done when you schedule them, not so much spontaneously. Fourth principle for disciplined thankfulness. Thanksgiving should be practiced with joy. Thanksgiving should be practiced with joy. Over and over again, I'm blown away by this. Over and over again, the Scripture links thanksgiving with joy. I mean, I took about 7 hours one day this week and just searched through the whole Scripture from top to bottom to find all the times where joy and thanksgiving were intertwined in the Word of God. They are intertwined, and I want to just show you six. Can I show you six of them? Where joy and thanksgiving go hand in hand. They help each other. They are intertwined. It's hard to separate them. Let me very quickly lead you down through those. First of all, let's just throw a whole screen up here. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 19. For them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. Intertwined. songs of thanksgiving and sounds of rejoicing. Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2, we read this before. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Thanksgiving and joy together. Psalm 107, verse 22, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Are you getting the idea? These are intertwined. Thanksgiving and joy are intertwined. Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 27, at the rededication of the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah, right, he was in captivity, and he grieved for he had heard the walls of Jerusalem were falling down, and the king let him go back and rebuild the walls, and he did it. Great victory, wonderful story in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. What do they do? They're rededicating the rebuilt walls. Look what happens. At the rededication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem, look at this, to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving. Intertwined. Two more. Isaiah 51, verse 3. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. And let's go New Testament. Paul in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. They're intertwined. Now listen, it's so important. I've said all this to say this. Hear me. Your thanksgiving can cause you to rediscover your joy. As someone who speaks with experience in depression, I discovered that my rediscovery of thanksgiving rescued and recaptured my joy. Listen, thanksgiving can be a lifeline for your joy. Depression is often lifted by thanksgiving. Why? They're intertwined. Joy and gratitude go hand in hand. They work together. One can rescue the other. Isn't that good? That's good. Number five, thanksgiving should flow from the Spirit-filled heart. Thanksgiving should flow from the Spirit-filled heart. In other words, if you are truly filled with the Spirit, thanksgiving will flow from your heart. How many of you are not ashamed to say you're Spirit-filled? Can I see your hand? How many of you are Spirit-filled? Let me see your hand. Say it loud, say it proud. Okay, let me just say this. If you're truly Spirit-filled, you're going to be thankful. How do you know, Pastor Barry? Well, let's look at Paul again from Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 18 through 20, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, look at this, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're really filled with the Spirit, Paul tells us if you're truly filled with the Spirit, your heart will overflow with thanksgiving to God. It's another way you can prove that you're really filled with the Spirit. You're really saved. The Spirit of God really lives in you. And listen, I'm not talking about tongues. I'm talking about the Spirit's filling. I'm not talking about the baptism. I'm talking about the Spirit's filling. We're to be filled with the Spirit. Not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit. If we're truly people who have the Spirit of God filling us, we're going to overflow with thanksgiving. Is that good? All right. Now let's go to the last point. I can make this point quickly. Tips on training. Let me go through these quickly. Four quick tips, practical ways that you can practice the discipline of Thanksgiving. Number one, I love this. I hope I get the same shocked expression I did in the nine. Practice pillow talk gratitude. Pillow talk, it's horrible. No, I mean it. Practice pillow talk gratitude. And by that I mean make thanks to God the first thing you say in the morning while your head is still on your pillow, and make thanks to God the last thing you say at night as your head hits the pillow. Pillow talk gratitude. I've been trying to do this. Sometimes I have to wake up. It's hard to get in the habit. It takes repetitive training. I need to get in the gym for gratitude to get this in. Pillow talk. God, I thank you for what you're going to do through me today. While your head is still on your pillow, thank you, God, for what you're going to do. You know what I said this morning when I woke, before my head was off the pillow? I didn't say it out loud because my wife was sleeping, but I said it in my spirit. Thank you, God, I get to preach the gospel today. How fortunate am I? How fortunate am I that I get to preach the gospel? Thank you, God. When your head hits the pillow, thank you, God, you gave me another day. I hope and I pray I've glorified you today. Thank you for another day. Practice pillow talk gratitude. Number two, think of gratitude as a continual posture, not an occasional activity. Stop thinking about gratitude as an activity. And now we're going to be grateful. Now we're going to be grateful. Stop thinking of it that way. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself to thankfulness. It's a continuing posture, not an occasional activity. Number three, forewarned is forearmed. Practice it with this sense of forewarning and forearming. Let me give you this two things to think about in this idea. First of all, ingratitude is the first step toward deconstruction that leads to apostasy. What is apostasy? It is a state of fallenness. We say it again, ingratitude, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Ingratitude is the first step toward deconstructing our faith, which will lead to apostasy. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. This whole last part of chapter 1 talks about how mankind fell into a place of depravity. Look at verse 21. For although they knew God, look at this, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. The first step toward apostasy, toward fallenness, is failing to give thanks. Second, again, forewarned is forearmed. Second, ingratitude is a sign of the times. Ingratitude is a sign of the times. Look what Paul says to Timothy in his second epistle to him, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. But mark this. In other words, Timothy, pay particular attention to this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. What? Ungrateful. Ingratitude is a sign that we're living in the last days. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. The Bible prophesies that this will happen. People will be ungrateful. It's a sign of the last days and a step toward apostasy or fallenness. Be forewarned and forearmed. Musicians, come. Let's finish up. Number four. This can be the hardest. Basically, what I'm going to tell you to do is get in the gym. Get comfortable with some discomfort. Get comfortable with some discomfort. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. We read this before. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained, gymnazo, trained by it. Can I tell you, gratitude is not easy, and it does not come naturally. We need to get comfortable with discomfort. We need to just onboard some discomfort. It's going to happen. Right? Again, do hard things. Take the road less traveled. The narrow road, the narrow path, the uncomfortable path, the lonely path. The path to the gym, right? Often it's early in the morning before work, before everyone else is up and around. You're up, putting your tennis shoes on, putting your gym stuff on, getting your duffel bag, you're going to the gym. We're going to put in the work, right? We're going to work muscles that we've never worked before. Why? Because we're training. We're training for righteousness. We just need to be comfortable with some hard things, some discomfort. Don't be afraid. Gratitude is not easy. It doesn't come naturally for most of us. And again, for those of you who it comes naturally, I said get out. I'm teasing. We need to get comfortable doing hard things. But you know what? Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. Put in the time. Train yourself. Gymnazo. Get in there and work those thankfulness muscles. At first, you're going to be fatigued. I'm not used to this. But you're going to reap a harvest if you don't quit. Now, we've got 11 days left on our 25-day challenge. 11 days, right? 11 days to turn our gripes into gratitude. 11 days for some gymnastic discipline toward a life of thanks living. We can do it. We can do it. Let's practice some pillow talk gratitude. Let's put it in our schedule. Let's set some alarms on our phones. Let's do the work to develop a lifestyle of gratitude. Why? Because that's the gateway to the presence of God. Closer. Closer. Hey, do you know what our mission and vision of the church is? To try to lead you into a deeper relationship with Christ. Deeper, closer. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let's stand. If you need prayer for anything this morning, we want to pray with you. Our prayer partners are coming. If you need healing, if you need provision, you need wisdom, we're here to pray for you this morning. I'm going to pray. Our worship team's going to sing a song. Father God, we don't thank you enough for all you do for us and have provided for us. We could never be grateful enough. Forgive us, God, for our laziness and self-centeredness. We repent for not coming into your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. Fill us, Holy Spirit, fill us, that we might always give thanks for everything, Since gratitude doesn't happen automatically, remind us, Jesus, that we must intentionally train ourselves to be grateful in every circumstance. We want to live a life of thanksgiving lifestyle. So help us to put in the work, the gymnastic discipline of gratitude. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, come.
Thank you for joining us in the Tiffany Fellowship Sermon Series. We truly hope that you were moved by the Word of God. It is our desire to see you built up in your faith, adding to the unity and strength of God's kingdom. You're invited to get connected at Tiffany Fellowship Church. If you're hearing the inspirational words of God for the first time, we would like to extend a helping hand in the decisions that are before you. So be encouraged to contact any of our staff members to meet and pray over the life-changing choices God has for you. As we close, our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, showing His kindness, compassion, and love to you. As well, if you are so moved, we would like to afford you the opportunity to give generously in support of this ministry and simply point to our available online giving opportunities. Be blessed in this day. Be continually encouraged by God's Word.